Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care, including independent living, assisted living, skilled, and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. My guest this half hour is Tom Twetten. We've had him on our program before. He is a retired deputy director for operations at the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. Twetten was twice awarded the Distinguished Intelligence Medal. That's the CIA's highest intelligence award. And he's a graduate of Iowa State University. Tom Twetten, welcome back to our program.
Thank you very much, Ben.
We called you to take a few minutes to pick your brain, to have you share with us how you're seeing this unfolding story of the Russian investigation with its weekly revelations through your eyes, the eyes of a former high-level U.S. intelligence officer, someone who has been part of the intelligence community for more than four decades. In a minute, I wanted to have you comment on Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting that's been in the news the last couple of weeks. But before that, perhaps we could start with a sort of big picture and have you react to that. We know the consensus among all U.S. intelligence agencies, the CIA included, is that Russia meddled in our 2016 election campaign with the intent of helping Donald Trump, something, by the way, that is still not entirely accepted by President Trump. We have a special counsel, Robert Mueller, investigating many aspects of this, including the possibility of collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign. Putting that part aside, so what? We know Russia is an adversary. Espionage is part of the game in the darker corners on the world stage of geopolitics. They seem to have gotten the better of us here, caught us off guard. Isn't all fair in love and war between adversaries?
Well, if you're a proud member of the American democracy, it isn't acceptable for foreign powers to interfere with our affairs. And it is in the long history of the Cold War, which I was a part of for those decades, they never did. And we never did. There was something we called Moscow rules, which, to my knowledge, were never breached. They said, in effect, unwritten, that we would never interfere in each other's internal politics.
Mm. That they would never.
We recruited each other's citizens and military officers and spies, but we did not interfere in Communist Party politics, and they did not interfere with American democracy. Mm-hmm. So this is unprecedented.
How much confidence do you have that Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation will get to the bottom of this?
I would say 99% plus. He's a very fine man and very experienced in working with intelligence and law enforcement together. I just don't think there could be a better person for the job. Mm-hmm. It's going to take him some time because it's pretty complicated. But I would say give it 12 to 18 months and we'll have a great deal of information on it.
12 to 18 months. Does Robert Mueller and his people, do they have, from what you understand, access to all intelligence from the various U.S. branches, the NSA, CIA, and so forth?
Yes.
Okay, so he can get whatever access he needs.
And he'll have the eager cooperation of the American law enforcement and intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Tom Twetten, now you retired after 34 years, I think, from the CIA in 1995. And so it's been a long time since you've worked actively in intelligence. But can you tie in what is happening today with what you did back then? See it through that historical lens.
Yes. I think not very much has changed. We saw the Russians as our primary adversary. The Russians played the intelligence chess game well. They had their intelligence services had problems with their political masters who didn't always accept the information they were given, but they were a very good active intelligence service. And we played the game about the same way. We were very good at recruiting Russian intelligence officers who told us what they were up to. So we had a full book on their intentions and what they regarded as most important, and we were often able to give the FBI detailed information or at least leads on Americans who had been subverted by the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all still going on, and to the best of my knowledge, in the same way. The only thing that's different is that Putin, a former member of the KGB, the Russian intelligence, is now the president, and he's still playing intelligence games as a part of his politics.
How does that square in your mind with President Trump's desire to shift our longstanding hardline U.S. approach toward Russia, or its position on Ukraine and NATO and other issues? He's really trying to make a fundamental change here. If you say we're still more or less in a Cold War mindset, and Putin is, how does that square with what the president's vision is?
Well, of course, I can't speak for Trump. He, I think, saw, because Paul Manafort was his campaign manager and had done business with the Russians in the Ukraine, I think there was a beginning bias toward, let's see if there's a Russia opening.
Mm-hmm.
And that started early on in the campaign before Manafort was fired. Then came, and I think this could be characterized as the first or the second move of a chess game, the Russian effort to have a meeting with Trump Jr.
Okay. So let's talk about that meeting. You're talking about the meeting that took place in June of 2016. Donald Trump Jr. at that meeting, Donald Trump Jr. recently told Sean Hannity of Fox News this about that meeting with a Russian lawyer who was said to have damaging information about Hillary Clinton. He said on Fox News, "It was such a nothing. There is nothing to tell." His words. Tom, from what you know, with your more than four decades of work in intelligence, does Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting that also included son-in-law, the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and then campaign manager Paul Manafort, as you mentioned, does it sound like a nothing, or does it sound like a Russian intelligence operation?
Well, it's very clearly a Russian intelligence officer operation. The beginning moves of trying to build some relationship with the Trump campaign. I would accept Donald Jr.'s comment that nothing happened in terms of dirt on Hillary being passed over. But the purpose of the meeting from Russian intelligence was to test the waters, to take the measure of Trump Jr., to get some sense of whether the Trump campaign might be willing to accede to Russian interests.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent a reliable person, but the person didn't have official status. This is a standard operation for a professional intelligence officer. They want it deniable. They're very careful, and they want to be able to deny that anything happened if it goes badly.
Oh, so this Russian, you're speaking of this Russian lawyer, Natalia Veselnitskaya, was there in what capacity do you think, representing the Kremlin? They wanted enough distance that they could deny it if it didn't work out, if it was not an opening? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this meeting, from what we know about it, fits in with standard espionage tradecraft as far as you can see from a Russian perspective?
It fits in with Russian tradecraft because it's quite subtle. It's not blunt, and they are one of the best, and they were part of what they were doing was testing to see if the Trump campaign would report this meeting to American legal FBI authorities, and they did not.
And so what did that tell the Russians, do you think?
That tells the Russians that the Trump campaign is partly naive and partly willing to I'm saying naive because I'm not sure that many in the Trump campaign realize that it's illegal to accept anything of value under American finance campaign laws. Anything of value cannot come from any foreign power, any foreign person. And when the Trump campaign does not report that, the Russians are able to measure that nothing is different in FBI behavior, so they have the possibility of Trump being cooperative either in the campaign or after he's elected.
Mm-hmm. For the listeners who've just joined us, my guest this half hour is Tom Tweten, retired deputy director for operations at the CIA. He retired in 1995, also a graduate of Iowa State University, today joining us from Vermont. Isn't it also possible, Tom, that in this meeting with Donald Trump Jr. that included Jared Kushner and campaign manager Paul Manafort, that the Russians in that meeting were, as a possibility, were unconnected with the Kremlin, that they were simply rogue operators? Is that a possibility?
Not in the Russian system, because these people are people of substance in Moscow, and it would be very dangerous for them to go off on their own. If something went badly, they would be they would lose their position of access and well-being in the Russian system.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you see any other explanations for that meeting besides the ones that we've talked about?
I think there is one piece that I do need to tell you, which is historic, and that is there's a piece of revenge here, because at the end of the Cold War we had Russians coming to us with full of democratic ideas and ask us if we could provide them with a Russian translation of our Bill of Rights and our Constitution, and they wanted. We had a brand new intelligence liaison with Russia, and they were full of grand ideas of how to reform their system.
Mm-hmm.
This eventually, under Gorbachev and Yeltsin, led to a robust parliament, freedom of the press, valid elections, multiple independent parties, the beginnings of real, true democracy in Russia. And in that context, we at the CIA said, no, this is not our covert business. We need to have the State Department overtly give Democratic help. And the State Department has done a wonderful job of this over the last 25 years around the world, funding NGOs and groups that support democracy in any number of countries. So there has been a huge change in democracy participation and human rights around the world in these 25 years. Now, along comes the last election of Putin, and there were several non-government organizations that were funded by the State Department that put money and wherewithal into the hands of opposition groups in Russia, and that's democracy. Unfortunately, Putin is not a Democrat, and he took umbrage to this, and he particularly was angered by the fact that the State Department, a U.S. government organization, was doing this, and the Secretary of State happened to be Hillary Clinton. Well, guess what happened? He decided to take revenge. And he took it in a covert series of ways. Both of his intelligence services are involved in this. But there's no doubt in my mind that the primary purpose of this evil man, Vladimir Putin, a professional intelligence officer, was to defeat Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. So now in the present, and this is really a difficult question to answer, because you'd have to be in President Putin's head. But what do you imagine President Putin, given that background, what do you imagine he thinks of the Russian scandal unfolding here in the U.S. and this investigation that is bound to go on for, year and a half or so, perhaps, if not years?
Good question, because I think you can make some pretty good guesses about Putin's head. He has had what he felt was a successful operation. He did influence to some degree. I'm not sure we will ever know to what extent. It's quite possible that Trump would have been elected whether he had Russian help or not. But he did interfere with the election, no doubt about it, and he was initially quite pleased. Now the problem is the goals are turning sour, because there's increasing anger over this. Mueller's going to put out a very thorough report when it comes. And Russian interests, Russian interest in Ukrainian sanctions being lifted, Russian interests in showing themselves to be a great power are going to be diminished in this country when the Mueller report comes up.
Mm-hmm. So you think it looks very much like this has backfired on Putin, that the investment in the meddling in our election will have backfired and created a...
Backfired in this country. I don't think the Russians have enough knowledge of it, since they no longer have a free press. They don't really know what's going on in the U.S., and they don't accept that Putin was even involved, because there's so little information available to the average Russian.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt in my mind that Putin is unhappy and trying to figure out how to decrease the damage that's coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, and it unfolds very quickly, by the day, by the week, and will in the coming months, we'll find out much more than we know at this point. But for you, as a former intelligence officer, what are the biggest questions in your mind? Are there things that don't make sense, or things, blank spots that you would like to have filled?
Well, I'm saddened. I think the biggest thing that's because this is so unprecedented, I'm saddened that the president has not yet acknowledged that this is a problem for future American relationships with the Russians, and that the Russians need to be have their hands slapped, more sanctions, more penalties put down on them, so they get the clear message that we will not tolerate their interference in American democracy.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Tom Twetten, for being so nice to join us for this short time. Retired Deputy Director for Operations at the CIA, also a graduate of Iowa State University. We're reaching you in Vermont, Craftsbury Common. This is where you live these days?
Yes.
And so...
Thank you, Ben. I enjoyed chatting with you.
Well, can I just ask you quickly, Tom, what do you do during the day here? What activities do you have?
Well, I'm active in the antiquarian book business, and I do do a fair amount of reading to keep up with current affairs, and I'm still playing tennis, so I have a busy life.
Excellent. Glad to hear from you. Hope to talk to you again at some point. Tom Twetten, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That conversation with Tom Twetten recorded yesterday. Coming up tomorrow, our Friday News Buzz edition of River to River, I'll talk with Iowa's Secretary of State Paul Pate about National Voters with Disabilities Week. That's this week. Also, about President Trump's Advisory Commission on Election Integrity, which held its first public meeting this week. That was a commission proposed by President Trump earlier this year to investigate his belief that as many as 5 million people voted illegally last November. That's an allegation dismissed as unfounded by the vast majority of the nation's election officials and experts. Also tomorrow on the program, I'll talk with the co-owner of a Waterloo Cedar Falls body armor producer. RMA Armament was invited to the White House as a part of a Made in America event hosted by the Vice President and the President. River to River is produced by Ben Stanton, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon with help from Robbie Broad. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.